right now, if you look at the guidelines from the platforms, that age 13 is when kids are technically allowed to use social media. But there are two concerns I have about that. One is, I personally, based on the data I've seen, believe that 13 is too early. And I think that it's a time, you know, early adolescence, where kids are developing their identity, their sense of self. It's a time where it's really important for us to be thoughtful about what's going into how they think about their own self-worth and their relationships. And the skewed and often distorted environment of social media often does a disservice to many of those children. But the other concern I have is that these rules around age are inconsistently implemented. We have some of the best designers and product developers in the world who have designed these products to make sure people are maximizing the amount of time they spend on these platforms. And if we tell a child, use the force of your willpower to control how much time you're spending, you're pitting a child against the world's greatest product designers, and that's just not a fair fight. And so that's why I think our kids need help. And what we need, which we don't have right now, is we need transparency from social media companies as to the impact that their platforms are having on kids and which kids are being adversely affected. We also need safety standards, which we don't have. In my house right now, the vast majority of products that, you know, that we buy, that I use, have some had to meet some sort of safety standard in order to be sold. That is not true in general of social media, and that is something we have to fix.
All right, welcome back, Surgeon General. Although I agree with what he's saying there, General, I don't think kids should be on social media. I hate social media. Social media is the devil. Social media creates more problems than it does solve problems. So definitely kids shouldn't be on it, especially at fragile stages in their development where they're heavily influenced by other crazy people around the world on these platforms. So I agree with that. Problem is, coming from him, it's falling on deaf ears, because it's the same person that's okay with you mutilating children. So you don't want kids on there, 13 is the age he's talking about. You don't want these kids under the age of 13 on social media, but you're okay with people doing sex change operations on kids under the age of 18. So how can I take you seriously? You're also okay with children receiving COVID vaccines when they're the most resilient in society and would have no issue ever picking up this virus and their body processing it like normal, and it's just another flu that they get. So that way their immune system strengthens itself to be able to fight it later on in life. That you're okay with them getting a potentially harmful shot instead. So I can't take what this guy says seriously. I just wanted to throw that in there. I did also hear that Joe Biden, and I know you're very, very excited about this because it's been heavily on your mind lately, that Joe Biden is going to end all COVID restrictions and the emergency on May 11th. Why that particular date, everybody's wondering. Well, if you'd ask me, I would say that there's a lot of money attached to COVID, especially the bills that they passed and all the money that they want to spend. So they probably need to make sure that they can somehow move that funding around and get it to where it needs to be prior to then. And they're giving themselves enough time to move that money around, because they certainly wouldn't want to waste any of the funds set aside for their liberal causes. You certainly wouldn't want that to go to waste. You want to make sure that no matter what happens, you can get things like, you know, I know it has nothing to do with COVID, but you can name a park after Michael Obama or Michelle Obama, excuse me. It's so dumb. Because, I mean, that's important for COVID, you know? You got to have a park. It just helps so many people. So when you're dying of COVID, if the park's in your local area, you know, you can go there and just reflect on everything that's gone on, because it's part of COVID. Or there's some type of healing property maybe that's inside there that can help you out. I don't know. But, you know, that was an important item on their list to get done during COVID. So I know you're excited that Joe Biden will be doing that. All right. Connecticut egg farm. I know this happened over the weekend, but I figure we will get into that a little bit more now. If you're wondering why eggs cost so much, it just depends on who you ask and what excuse they're going to give you of why they cost so much. More than 100 firefighters responded on Saturday to the raging inferno that ultimately killed around 100,000 chickens at an egg farm in Connecticut. Up to this point, I haven't seen any updates on what caused the fire, so that's still to be determined. I'm sure they're still investigating. Salvation Army was on site while the firefighters were putting everything out, and they were providing food for the firefighters at the scene, and they confirmed that around 100,000 chickens died in the fire. That fire, ironically, happened at a time where egg prices are already at an all-time high. I mean, I was in Walmart the other day, and it's going to vary from state to state and location to location. But if you're going to buy eggs at Walmart and they sell the double 18-pack, and it's usually wrapped in plastic, and I think a lot of people, depending on your size family, buy that and you buy a double pack. It used to cost $7 and change. Used to. It is now up to $15 here in South Florida. It's like 14, you know, Walmart's prices are their weird numbers. So it's like $14.63. After you factor in taxes, it's going to be $15. So $15 for 36 eggs. Eggs are becoming a gold mine. If you have a chicken that produces eggs, depending on the area you live in, start slanging them on the side of the road, because even at $5 a dozen, people are going to feel like they're getting a deal now. Trust me. I was in Publix, and not that I was buying any. I think I was picking up some butter. But I was in Publix anyways, and I just happened to see Publix has a dozen eggs, and their dozen eggs was $6.99. And I just, like, shook my head. I'm like, this is just insane. It's insane. So anyways, this comes at a time when eggs are at an all-time high. Over the last couple years, and I even did an episode about this a little while back, all the different food plants and factories and everything that have had some type of an issue of whether it be a fire or whatnot, where it had to be shut down. Well, this is just the latest in a string of different types of food processing plants that burn to the ground. You got to wonder why. I mean, we're talking about people. We're in a society now where you have a group of people that think that we should no longer eat meat. So is it ironic that all these places are burning down, that the cost of beef right now, they're anticipating it's going to rise another 15%. And it's at an all-time high. Farmers are getting paid an all-time low, and you're at an all-time high when it goes to the store. I mean, I don't think you can really touch a nice piece of steak, and it ain't much. It's maybe two pieces of steak, a pound or 2 pounds, for under $20+. I don't think you can even touch it. And that's if it's you and your wife, and you haven't begun to have a family yet, you both get a piece of steak. Well, you know, maybe that works for you. But I can tell you, as somebody who is a family of six, you need at least one piece for each person, which a lot of times, depending on how big the person is, like myself, one piece doesn't generally do the job. If I'm going to eat a piece of steak, I want to eat some steak. I want to eat one piece of thin steak and call it a day and leave dinner and just be sitting there leaving the table hungry. That's usually not the point of this. You know, my wife cooks and I'm happy to eat it, and I like to have a couple pieces. If I want to have a couple pieces of steak, I want to have a couple pieces of steak. Well, it's getting to a point where for a family of six, you're at around $80 or so if you want to have enough to eat a steak dinner at home. Well, I don't know about you, but that's not really affordable for the average American anymore. So people are looking to the alternative. What's the alternative? Chicken. But now chicken has been going up too. And when you see stuff like this, you already know what's about to happen. 100,000 chickens, no longer producing eggs. And I don't know if they had any meat-eating chickens in there. But if they did, they got burned up in the fire. So what do you think the cost of poultry is about to do? Eggs are going to go up more. The cost of chicken is going to go up more. And I know that they want to blame it on all kinds of things. But like I said, these are people that don't want you to eat meat. So it's very ironic that these places burned down. They did say that one of the main reasons that we're having such a spike in the cost of eggs is due to a large number of avian influenza deaths in the United States. More than 58 million birds have died from this influenza since last year, according to the U.S. Agricultural Department. I don't know how true that is. I haven't looked into it. I'd be 100% honest with you. Talking with a few different people that I know do farming on a smaller scale, they did say that there is some disease that goes on, but nothing out of the normal from what they have seen. So hard to say. I know people that own chickens personally, and they've had no issues with their chickens. So it just makes you wonder, well, would these very located cases, are they in particular factories? Is it because where they're being bred at, there's a disease there that they got to eradicate? Or is it unsanitary conditions, which, you know, wouldn't be surprising in some of these places? Who knows? But it does seem awfully convenient, doesn't it, that at the same time you just got done with the World Economic Forum and they're calling for a reduction in how much meat that we're eating, they're on this path of trying to get us to eat bugs, that these types of things just continue to happen. I don't know, not conspiracy, but it's just very convenient. Where there's smoke, there's fire. There's something more to it than that. I would bet my bottom dollar. The DOJ, they're probably not real happy. This is an update on, I don't know if I did this story or not, but if I didn't, there was Mark Hook was a pro-life activist. And he would go to pro-life events and protest abortion. He's got a very large family. He's probably similar to me, except he's actually out on the front line doing what he's supposed to be doing. Well, he got charged. I think it took, if my memory serves me correctly, he was at some type of a pro-life event, and somebody who was pro-choice was there, and they were heckling his son, and he ended up pushing the guy to get him away, and the guy, I think, fell over. Again, my memory may be a little bit off here, but I believe the guy fell over. And then a year later, the DOJ comes to press charges on him. And they said that he forcibly shoved this guy named Bruce Love, who was a Planned Parenthood volunteer, and they were prosecuting him for it. So they came to his house, arrested him in front of his children, which that was all meant to intimidate and embarrass him. And they tried to prosecute him. Well, on Monday, a Philadelphia jury found that he was not guilty on both federal charges in the related October 13, 2021 altercation with the abortion clinic volunteer. So that is a victory for us, because remember, the DOJ has been weaponized against us. And this is why there's a committee that's going to start investigating that. DOJ has been coming after parents that are showing up to school board meetings. You're not allowed to voice your opinion. You're going against the narrative. You're exposing them. You're getting national coverage because of it. They don't want that. So how do you silence people? Through intimidation. And how are you going to intimidate them? Well, if you sick the DOJ on them, you come and you embarrass them and arrest them in their house in front of their family. That's how you start to silence people. There's a lot of people that would be scared to open their mouth after seeing that. These people, once your name is out there, let's be honest, depending on where you work, you may lose your job. Yeah, I mean, you're going to fall in some hard times because you're going against the machine. This is a serious blow to the Department of Justice. It really is. This win, it's good for freedom and it's good for us. Yeah, since when are we not allowed to voice our opinion? Since when are we not allowed to raise concerns? Whether it be you are a pro-life activist, whether it be that you are passionate about that and you want to voice your opinion, okay, or whether you're at a school board, not wanting them to indoctrinate your children, showing them smut, teaching them to hate themselves, you're not allowed to say anything about it. And in this case, since when are you not allowed to protect your children? He didn't hit the guy. He didn't beat the guy to death. He didn't even punch the guy. He shoved him. He shoved him. Under any other circumstance, if you're in that type of a situation with local police officers, you know what they're going to tell you? All right, everybody cool off. Guys go home, leave it alone. You know why? Because nobody's going to prosecute that, because they know it's not going anywhere in the court and it is a waste of time. No one's injured. It was a light shove. Give me a break. The DOJ, this was to make a statement that if you don't shut up and stop going against what we are doing here, if you don't stop exposing us, we're going to come after you. What happened is beautiful. There was no way this guy's found guilty. I mean, let me not say that. Weirder things have happened. Potentially, could the guy have been found guilty and did some prison time for it? Oh, yeah. Those times, we're in those times where you are rolling the dice. You're just not sure, because it's going to depend where you are when these things happen. You know, Pennsylvania, I wouldn't be too confident in Pennsylvania. I wouldn't be too confident in New York, New Jersey. Wouldn't be too confident in Minnesota. These are places, depending on where you live, you never know. You might actually do some prison time, or at least get put on probation and have to pay a fine, and now you're a registered felon, and it's going to affect you tremendously in your life. Tremendously. So I can't say it'll never happen, but under normal circumstances, nothing's going to happen to you from shoving somebody. What a joke. And it was good that this puts another nail in the coffin for the DOJ. I hope that the investigation that they're about to do on the Department of Justice to see if it's weaponized is a real investigation and produces real results, because they absolutely have been. And people need to see it. I was having a conversation with my daughter, and, you know, we raise her the way we are. You know, we have been very hard about social media, and at a younger age, she may not have understood, but at an older age, she absolutely understands now, and is even grateful that we didn't allow her to do these things, because she avoided so much by us blocking all of that. But I was having a conversation with her about what people don't know, and she was talking to me about different things that had happened, political things, and she's like, "Dad, these people have no idea." She's like, "You should see the comments on these things that people write." She's like, "It's insane. They have no idea." And I said, "I know. That is our biggest challenge as conservatives. It's not that less people agree with us. We would probably have more people agree with us than the left would like to think. The problem is they're kept ignorant. They have no idea about what's really going on, because they don't care. They're happy in their little bubble in their life. They're left alone since they're not making any noise. They're being left alone. It is only when something like that happens that it draws attention to them, that they are forced to pay attention because now it's happening to them. But until that time comes, they're happy living in their own little world, not paying attention to anything. You know, and it's our job to enlighten people, to get them interested. Please go look it up. Please figure it out. What I told you about the 1619 Project. Everything that I told you there, please look it up. Don't take my word. I'm some fat guy that you're listening to via some download somewhere, a podcast somewhere. Look it up. I'm not asking you to trust me blindly, believe me, at all. Please look up the correct history. It is important that you see it firsthand. It's important for you, not for me or the survival of this show. It's important for you to have firsthand knowledge of that truth. That's what we've lost in society. People don't pay attention. People don't look. And it's amazing how many don't know. If we could get everybody to know what we know, if you get everybody to pay attention to what we pay attention to, imagine how different things would actually be. Because I think a lot of times they're able to get past people and get around everything is because people are ignorant to the actual facts of whatever the situation is. All right. ESG, this is something else people need to know about, because, oh, it's going to affect them whether they like it or not. Doesn't matter what side of the political aisle they're on. They're going to start to figure out that if you're kind of a neutral person and you like some things and you don't like other things, this is going to have an impact on their life one way or the other. Environmental, social, and corporate governance, ESG. The red states are doing an amazing job right now attacking this. Yeah, I read it was an excellent article that I read, and I did not put on here. Sorry, I write notes and stuff, and I did not put on here where I got it from. That's not good. I think if you bear with me for a second here, let me peel through my saved stuff, and I can tell you where I saw it at. So hold on one second, because I'd like you to be able to look it up for yourself once again. Yes, here we go. NationalReview.com. Okay, so NationalReview.com wrote an excellent piece about ESG, about BlackRock, and the amount of money that they have, and what Americans can do to stop this, and what red states are doing to stop this right now. Now, there are a lot of lawsuits that are in place right now regarding all of this ESG, because what it comes down to is investment firms like BlackRock they're not making you money. They're gambling with your money, and you're going to lose money on it. So you got 26 states or 25 states right now that are suing, saying that they're abandoning their fiduciary responsibility. That what you're doing is you are investing in things that you have no idea what the outcome is going to be in the future. So you're investing in something that's a losing prospect. That these people are going to lose money. And this is with state funds. So this is pensions. If you work for your local government and you have a pension, you have a 401k, whatever you have through your government here in Florida, if you work for the county or the state, you're in the Florida retirement system. Ron DeSantis has pulled the money out of BlackRock for this specific reason. But if you're in a state that they are not fighting against this, they're going to use your money recklessly. And at the end of the day, when it's time for you to retire, potentially there could be no money there because they're being irresponsible. For example, a state pension fund asset manager, do they violate their fiduciary duty by investing in a company and then pressuring it to reduce its carbon emissions? If doing so will lower that company's profit and then the pension fund's returns. Well, last August, 19 red state attorney general, took that position and that said they're in violation of it. So they sent a letter to Larry Fink, and I think you guys all know this. He's the CEO of BlackRock. So they end up sending a letter to him stating that the investor's return must be a fiduciary's sole focus and that BlackRock was sacrificing those returns to advance this net zero carbon emission agenda. Okay, shortly afterwards, naturally, 14 blue states said the opposite. The 14 blue states launched a website taking the exact opposite position, supporting BlackRock and criticizing red states for failing to acknowledge long-term risks of the climate change, and they criticized for Republicans for believing that climate change is not real. So, ALEC and the Heritage Foundation legislative models were designed to clarify situations just like this. Addressing ESG investments directly, the model makes it clear that the sole interest rules prohibit fiduciaries' responsibilities for those managements of state funds from managing those funds in a way to design to further environmental, social, political, ideological. A little tongue-tied there, or other goals or objectives. To make it even more simple, okay, the model restricts considerations that involve a high degree of uncertainty regarding what may or may not occur in the distant future. And they are systematic, general, or not investment-specific in nature. Say, for example, climate change. Climate change and the assumption that net zero goal emissions will mitigate it. You don't know that for sure. So you can't invest money in things that are, you're playing a guessing game. It's an illusion. Do you know for a fact by what you're doing it's going to stop the change in climate? You do not. That is an assumption. I can get you a panel of scientists. Half of them will agree, and I can get you the other half to agree, which leaves us at an impasse, right? So you can't do it. They're being irresponsible with your money. So now that you have, and it's up to, this was 19 at the time, but it's up to 25 states are now suing, going after Joe Biden and his administration, as well as legal, they're going to begin legal proceedings against BlackRock to stop all of this because they're being irresponsible with your money. Now, this is only for government funds. This is only state funding right now. But if you win that in court, it will spill over to your everyday mom and pop investor because you have a lot of people that are putting money into 401ks and IRAs and everything else and trying to save up a nice little nest egg so they don't have to work till the day they die. And if you have people that you're giving your money to and you're paying them a fee monthly and you're trusting that they're doing the best for you with your money, if you have them foolishly investing in failing products, and they're destroying your wealth, everything that you're trying to put in there, they're not helping you create more wealth so that you're going to be okay in the future, they're abandoning their responsibility. So it will eventually spill over onto them where they have to act in the best interest of their customer. You are their customer. You have every right to challenge them on what they invest in. I can tell you that much. If you are in a 401k, you have every right to know what the person taking care of or company taking care of your money, what are you invested in? A lot of times they're going to just try to give you a small breakout. It's a very general breakout of what you're invested in. You can get very specific with them. It takes a little bit of digging. It's going to take a little bit of effort. But is it not worth it? Because in the end, that's what you're depending on when you're old and your body's tired and you're tired and you just want to do what you want to do, which is every Sunday, me and the wife go out to breakfast before church and we go to church. I meet the boys on Wednesday morning for breakfast at wherever. Mom meets the girls somewhere Thursday evenings for a couple drinks, whatever you guys are doing. Don't you want to make sure that that money's there so you can enjoy, so you can sit on your porch at the end of the day and have a nice cup of coffee every day and you're not scattering going, oh man, we got no money. I got to go back to work. And at my age, nobody wants to hire me. So what am I doing? I'm bagging groceries at Publix for minimum wage. And now I got to work till I'm dead. So it does take a little bit of effort. But from what I just described to you, well worth it, don't you think? I do. So I think that you could spend a little bit of time to get it in order, but you have every right to know what they're investing in. And if they're investing in stuff that you do not believe in, you have two options. You either tell them to move your investments into what you believe in and what you know makes money, or you pull your business and take your business somewhere else that's going to be responsible with your money, and they're going to actually try to make you money. That's your options. It's good that these states are fighting back. I believe that it's going to spill over. But it also requires some effort on our part to protect yourself. It's wonderful that you're seeing it happen abroad. And it's good. While they're doing what they're doing, if you're doing what you need to be doing, it all will be so much more effective in the end. They'll get the desired result that they need to get. In the meantime, you've already moved yourself into a position where you're good, and you're ready to rock, and you know that you're going to be making money, and that account's going to be growing for the future, so that way when it's time and you need it, it's there. And then once the legislation spills over, and then they make everybody act responsibly, it'll only be better. You're ahead of the curve. I already took care of that. I'm in a good place. They're doing what's right with my money. So if this takes 2 years to battle out in court, well, guess what? For the last 2 years, I've been making money. I'm not losing money because they're investing in wind turbines. Solar panels. Yeah, because they're so effective. You know, so something you definitely want to pay attention to. But that is positive. At the end of the day, the message is positive that there is a lot of moving pieces here, but they are attacking this. And as long as we have people in the states that are willing to fight for what's right and we're getting some results, you know, we do have a future to look towards. I know a lot of times it's all doom and gloom and everybody's ready to do a head dive off the top of the house. But at the end of the day, it doesn't feel like it sometimes, but we are moving in a more positive direction in many areas. And there's just still that we need to work on. But mainly, we just can't lose focus again, and we have to pay attention to everything that they're doing. Because once you decide to turn a blind eye or you just kind of get busy and you detach yourself from it and you don't pay attention anymore, that's when they creep in. So take this one as a win right now. You know, we win too much these days. So we'll take it where we can get it. All right. If you like what you're hearing, please rate and review me. It's always a great help. If you'd like to check or if you'd like to contact me, go to littlejoecc.com. Go to the contact section. You can also check out the news feed there. It's just going to direct you to different places if you click on the article. Otherwise, it's just kind of the main points of the article. Beyond that, have a beautiful Wednesday. We'll do it again tomorrow.